at that before that time. And he brought a man with him with the name Thorn, T-H-O-R-N.
T-H-O-R-N,
okay. Yeah. And their materials commander, or whatever the name was those political officers who run all the development at that time. They had said, okay, you can keep those people from Messerschmitt as long as you have leads for them. Then on 6th of January 45, suddenly one of my people who had returned to Messerschmitt suddenly came up that Saturday and said, well, here's a handwritten message from your official boss at Messerschmitt. I don't know what's in, but it's apparently important enough that he sent it by messenger. So I opened it. Come back right away. We need you for something more important than that crap you are doing up there. And no matter what it costs, then good or bad, return right away. So I made my reservation for the sleeper train that night.
From where? Now, where were you at Junkers?
Junkers.
Where was that located again?
In Dessau. Actually, it was in a little village outside of Dessau, 20 minutes train ride outside, because Dessau was the on-train.
Yeah. And so you took a train from Dessau and down to...
And
what happened?
Well, this Mr. Thorn canceled my reservation. So I called the travel agency and told them, well, that's the order from the Messerschmitt company and not from the Junkers company, so that guy had no right to cancel this. And so the big four went back and finally Professor Hadl told him, what sense does it make to keep a fellow who wants to leave? He's just sitting here and doesn't do anything anymore. So I promised to leave my deputy there for one more month. And
where was that? You remember what was that? Man?
That was, I traveled back on the 6th of January, 45, and came back, that was a Saturday.
Oh, then where did you go, though?
I went back by
Romerada
to Augsburg.
Oh, back to Augsburg now.
Augsburg met Professor Kraus, who was the chief of strength of the overall military company, and I was responsible for the strength of the stellar wings, so called the rocket powered aircraft.
Well, that was originally transferred to Oberammergau, right?
Yeah, right. Okay. Kraus was located in Oberammergau too,
but he went back to...
But over the weekend, we all, most of the time, were in Augsburg with our family.
Oh, I see.
So I visited him in his house in Augsburg that Sunday morning.
And went back to work.
And he told me what it was, what he needed me for, and that was for service in the air. To an anti-aircraft missile.
Which one was that?
Enfion.
Oh, the Enfion.
Yeah.
So that was the Messerschmitt development?
Well, it was a PSS development, and then in the second stage, because they couldn't do the same thing like the ME-163, the Forsyth, the Research Institute could go only to a certain point, and then had to join industry.
So you worked out with engines for a while.
Yeah. So I went back to dissolve my stuff up there in Dessau and returned back on the 10th of January and went to a little place, you may have heard that name, Castle Linderhof, Schloss Linderhof.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those Ludwig the Second castles. He built a crazy Ludwig of Bavaria. And we lived in the nearby hotel, the Schloss Hotel, and in the verandas where normally in peace times people dined. We had our offices, and upstairs we lived, went with the slippers to work, got our breakfast first on our desk. So it was a nice arrangement. And we developed Enfion.
And that's when you developed Enfion?
Yeah.
And how far did you get with Enfion?
Well, we got into the test stage, but right after the first test, I think that was in the competition with Wasserfall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Wasserfall was the winner and Enfion was out.
So Enfion never went any production.
Not anything. Not major production.
Let me tell you. And wind this thing up with the engine. You worked in the engine for a while. That's getting near the end of the war.
That went until March March, sometime in March 45. One more month and...
where was that? You remember when was that, man?
That was, well, I traveled back on the 6th of January 45 and came back, that was a Saturday.
Well, then you, from where did you go, though?
I went back to Augsburg.
Oh, back to Augsburg now.
Augsburg met Professor Kraus, who was the chief of strength of the overall company, and I was responsible for the strength of the cellar ring, so it's all the rocket power there.
So that was originally transferred to Oberammergau,
though, right? Yeah, right. Okay, Kraus was located in Oberammergau too,
but he went back to
Augsburg. Over the weekend, we all, most of the time, were in Augsburg with our family.
Oh, okay.
So I visited him in his house in Augsburg that Sunday morning.
And went back to work.
And he told me what it was, what he needed me for, and that was for a service to me. Yeah, so an anti-aircraft missile.
Which one was that?
Enkian.
Oh, the Enkian, yeah. So you, that was a Messerschmitt alone?
Well, it was a CSS development, and then in the second stage, because they couldn't do the same thing like the ME-163, the Forsings, the Research Institute could go only to a certain point and then had to join industry.
So you worked out with engines for a while?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went back to dissolve my stuff up there in Dessau and returned back on the 10th of January and went to a little place, you may have heard that name, Casus Linderhof, Schloss Linderhof.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those, Ludwig II Casus, he built a crazy Ludwig of Bavaria.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah. And we lived in the nearby hotel, the Schloss Hotel, and in the veranda, normally in peacetime people dined, we had our offices, and upstairs we lived, went with the slippers to work, got our breakfast first, got our desk. So it was a nice arrangement. We developed Enkian.
And that's when you developed Enkian?
Yeah.
How far did you get with Enkian?
Well, we got into the test stage, but right after the first test, I think that was in the competition with Wasserfall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Wasserfall was the winner and Enkian was out.
So Enkian never went any production.
Yeah. No, not any.
Not major production. Let me try to wind this thing up. The engine, you worked in the engine for a while. Well, that's getting near the end of the war.
That just went until March, sometime in March 45.
Along the line, no, along a certain direction. There was only one accelerometer, and this accelerometer only was fixed on the stabilizer and integrated only in one direction. And it was a very peculiar direction. It was actually the direction of the real or anticipated cutoff tangent.
Tangent, right. Mm-hmm.
This worked fairly well.
What other, did you stay, did you travel much, or were you mostly at Peenemünde?
I was
in the BSM group.
BSM group,
right. Uh-huh.
And I was only in Peenemünde. I traveled only on
CDY.
Only on the fourth, every fourth weekend I could travel for free home to my wife.
Where was she living?
She lived at that time in Landsberg an der Warthe, because the house was destroyed by bombs in Teltow, Berlin.
Mm-hmm. Did you participate in these a series of vertical A4 testing at the Grafenwalderoy, the island?
I have seen one firing on the Grafenwalderoy.
Mm-hmm.
That was even before I was in Peenemünde, and I went there on TDY from Kreiselgerät in Berlin.
Oh, that was the A5, I guess.
This was not the. But it was the There was also a stateless platform, and I don't know whether it was a stateless platform or an LV3.
Yeah, I think it was a stateless, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't participate in these other tests that were made?
No, I think I had in our list of statistics a few vertical firings also to evaluate, because the evaluation process would have been exactly the same. But I don't remember anything particular.
Did you have to evaluate? What sort of data did you get from the hydrologue firing?
The diagrams.
They all came back to your group?
Yeah. The oscillographs, and we evaluated them. Although the hydrologue itself had its own crew to evaluate them.
I see.
I think my old wallpaper that I developed, it was about 1.5 by 2 feet paper and nice listing. I think they used that too.
Mm-hmm.
It was a straightforward calculation.
Mm-hmm. And Al, you continued this work. This was pretty much during the war. And did you
from 43 through 45,
yeah.
44.
Did you always work at Peenemünde after the raids, where you have to move outside?
Well, we had an office in Manzin.
Mm-hmm.
It was very close to Peenemünde.
Yeah, right. And do you remember the circumstances of your leaving Peenemünde? Peenemünde,
I was with the Werkzug. With the train that went all the way through Germany,
right,
crisscrossing Germany, always starting, probably not intentionally, but starting all air raids.
Mm-hmm.
We came, pretty close by in Nordhausen after the air raid.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But we never had any air raid on the train.
Yeah, and we Monday, I guess around probably February of 1945, somewhere
right.
In that time.
Yeah, that's right. And then in middle Germany, we settled in Obergebra.
Obergebra.
Obergebra. The same group.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, now I remember, this is where we tried to burn the so-called secret documents.
Yes, right. Now, some of them, of course, were saved, some documents. I guess these were settled out.
Yeah, what we had.
Did you burn, or did you supervise, or the burning?
We burned. Everybody supervised, everybody burned.
Everybody burned.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But with a little warm morning heat, warm morning oven, there's not much that you can burn.
Mm.
So, and then we moved from Obergebra to.
Well, would you probably go down to Oberammergau?
Through Oberammergau.
Okay, so you got out to Oberammergau. Did you remember having done any further work, or did you stay away?
No, there was no work to be done. There was only waiting and watching how we can get something to eat.
Did you remember your first contact with an American, or how it happened?
Yeah.
What town were you in? Were you in a farm, or...?
That I don't remember where I lived, but it was some farm, probably. My first contact with the American troops was hands up.
Mm-hmm.
Don't shoot me. We're standing against the wall and they're frisked and then put immediately into compound and
were you in uniform? Did you stay in the army?
No, I had been released in 1943, and I had my civilian army paper of dismissal. I still have it.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any other papers or documents from that period?
No.
You didn't keep any of them?
No.
No pictures?
No. I had only the... this is the only paper I...